Welcome everybody, welcome this evening to this week's Football Fans Podcast. This is the pod that gives real fans a voice, a view on all of the matters and issues surrounding football. No fence sitting, no umming and ahhing, we give it to you straight on FFP.
No, let's not beat around the bush. He was bundled out unceremoniously, wasn't it? It was just like, yeah, thanks Sam, get gone, you know what I mean?
So if she doesn't get another job, what hope is there for the rest of women working in football? And what does it say about football in general?
I don't know whether he got too confident or he had too many mince pies over the summer. I don't know what he's done, but he's just, it's just bizarre.
Like, I remember Rio Ferdinand saying he never understood the fact that Wayne Rooney was friends with the Liverpool boys when they went away with England. Because even though he was with England, he still saw them as Liverpool and him as Man United.
This week we have a North London affair. We have two guests on the panel this week, our Tottenham fan Ollie and our Arsenal supporter Natasha, who's munching into her, is that a cheeseburger or a hamburger?
Double cheeseburger.
And I've just baited you up there a little bit, but
yeah. Double cheeseburger minus the gherkins.
Minus the gherkin, okay, that's really, really important, the gherkin bit. Just another reminder, if you are on Twitter, follow us on our Twitter page. Our handle is at FFP_11. That's at FFP_11. Let us know if you have any issues that you would like us to discuss, anything you want to disagree with, agree with. Just keep in touch with us and let us know how you feel about football. So let's get to our panel now. Ollie, have you calmed down from your rant last week? It went down really, really well by most people. Do you want to kind of, without ranting, calmly quantify your point, or do you feel you made your point quite clearly last week?
I think I said everything I needed to say. Suffice to say that I just felt that Carragher was being unnecessarily patronising about Spurs, and as we were saying before we started, just that I think if you look at where Spurs are going in the next couple of years with a new stadium and the way they're bringing through young players, that the idea there is that there is an idea there. Whereas I'm not sure at this moment where Liverpool are trying to go, because they're obviously trying to buy their way back into the top four and it's not worked for them. But, you know, maybe Klopp will come along and he'll try and change it and go down the road that he went down with Dortmund, and if he gets that right, then Liverpool would be back where they want to be.
Mm. Okay, and Natasha, I just want to ask you quite briefly. We're going to get on to Big Sam a little bit later in the show. With that appointment, do you think Newcastle are in trouble? Because their form isn't great, the team isn't great, the manager's not doing very well, they've just lost their keeper for the season. You know, Villa are the other team of those trio we discussed a couple of weeks ago that potentially are in trouble. Do you feel that now Sunderland have got a manager that could potentially get them, well, they're hoping minimum bottom four, are Newcastle in trouble of really being left behind? Because Villa have got some decent players, a couple of goal scorers in their team. They could turn it around, whereas Newcastle just still looks grim.
I think if for any part of the season you are below Sunderland, you are in trouble. I think even Sunderland fans agree, and Villa fans, you know, they've kind of been heading this way, like where we're all waiting for them to get relegated for the past two or three seasons. So I think whether it is 2 games, 8 games or 15 games, if you're below Sunderland, you've got trouble. I think it's not even that Newcastle don't have any decent players, because they do. But those players aren't a team. They're a bunch of individuals who go to work and do their job. And I think, I don't know if Steve McLaren has the man management skills to get the best out of the group of players they have there.
You say they've got some good players there. Do you want to name three or four? Because I'm struggling to look at that team and see any real, where the goals are going to come from, any decent defenders. I mean, Sissoko is probably the best player, and okay, even he seems to have gone off the ball.
I mean, you've got Rolando Ahrens, who's a young player.
See, that in itself, you're mentioning him first, is worrying.
He was the first one I thought of.
Exactly.
Wijnaldum doesn't look bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Dutch guy that scored the other day. What I mean is, there's players there that could reasonably, on their day, play for a middle table team.
Okay. Ollie, England have played a couple of games in the last week. Do you feel that they are treating this qualification process correctly, in that do you feel that the way they've gone about these 10 games they've won, has been the right way in preparation for next year's Euros. Have you been impressed at all by this England squad? It's, 10 out of 10 is quite an achievement, bearing even though they're in a really, really easy group. So 10 out of 10 is quite impressive. But have you been impressed with anything apart from 10 out of 10?
We've been here before, really, with England, haven't we? Where we've seen them fly through a qualifying campaign and they look decent and then they get to the tournament and they flop. So you really can't put too much down for this, make too much of the fact that they've qualified with such ease. There wasn't really anyone in their group that they should be seriously worried about. I suppose the most impressive result of the whole qualifying campaign was the first one, really, to go to Switzerland and win 3-0, win comfortably. I thought that was reasonably impressive. Welbeck, your boy, had a good game. And I thought they did okay there. That was a good win. But other than that, you'd expect them to win the games they have. You'd expect them to, I didn't expect them to win all 10, but you'd expect them to get through the group without much trouble. And they've done that.
It was a group they were going to qualify from anyway, even if they got through third. They were going to qualify regardless. But do you feel there was a missed opportunity in that he's taken the approach of, I'm going to experiment and widen the nets to find players in the event that I get injuries and just trial out a few players. Whereas me personally, I think the best thing to do would have been to try and nail and hone down your main 13. So you know that first game of the Euros next year in France, you know who your first 11 is. You know those players know how to play together. They know how to work together rather than this. I think it's over-experimented. Do you feel he's got it right in giving people a chance, or would you like to have seen a firmed up 13?
I think the England manager these days is sort of, is hamstrung by circumstances. I don't think you can just say the England manager, you're the England manager, so you just pick your team and you just stick with it and you hone it and you make it as good as you can before the tournament starts. The problem he's got is that the top managers won't let him play all the players he wants in every game for every minute of the game. You know for a fact that if there's any kind of slight niggle of Wayne Rooney, which there has been over the last couple of games, then essentially the clubs turn around and they pull rank. Mm. If you're saying that Wayne Rooney is not fit to play for England, but he's actually going to be okay to play against Everton, which is what they're saying, so why didn't he play last night? I don't think there's enough wrong with him to say he couldn't play, but I think Roy's just taking it as, okay, we've qualified, let's not play Rooney, let's not rock the boat. Let's not upset any of the managers, and that's where the England manager stands these days. So I don't think it's possible to do what you say, because you can't turn around and say, right, I'm going to play Rooney in every qualifier and I'm going to only bring him off after like 80 minutes.
Do you feel as England manager he should have that ability of course he should, as long as you're fit, I expect you to
absolutely
report for duty.
Absolutely, but it's not going to happen because the club's hold too much power and they're not going to allow, if they can get away with their players only playing one match. I mean, you've seen it. Rooney played when he played and he was trying to break the record. He came off in the first game, didn't he? He equaled it and then he came off after half time, didn't he? So it's like, you know that they're in their ear, the top manager in there, don't play Wayne.
Yeah.
Don't play him more than an hour, 60 minutes. And don't play him in the whole game, you know what I mean? Yeah. Give one of the other kids a chance. So I don't really buy it. I don't buy the idea that it's purely, I'm experimenting. He's basically trying to put a brave face on the fact that he's been leaned on to not play the top players too much. Mm. And that's to the detriment of the England team, because I don't see Joachim Löw having that problem. If he wants to play players for Germany, he plays who he wants when he wants.
But is that partly because the managers of the teams that most of the players play for in Germany are German? So, i.e., they want
a vested interest.
They want their national team to do well. Like, no disrespect, but Arsene Wenger, Mourinho, they don't care what happens with England because they're not England fans, they're not England supporters.
That should be neither here nor there. The fact is that the whole system in this country should be geared towards not only having a strong league, but having a strong national team as well.
Yeah, but
that's what the top nations do.
The FA
should work in tandem.
Gave up their chance to have a strong national team when they gave their power away to the Premier League. I'm not disagreeing with you because I think it should be like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think, unless it's a case like Daniel Sturridge, who literally came back the week before they went away. Obviously, I understand Liverpool saying, look, he's just come back. He's not fit. That's fair enough.
But isn't it important for players like Barkley and Harry Kane and Sterling and Wilshere and all these people to get tournament time to
play in tournaments? Well, you can take Wilshere out of that list because he jumped straight to the seniors. He didn't really do that.
Yeah, but again, why?
But he was playing.
I still don't understand why. Yeah, he played. I know he played.
Are you saying anyone under 21 must?
Then, as far as I'm concerned, get back in under 21s because
yeah, but if you're playing for the seniors, Sterling is.
So was Wan-Mata was playing for the senior and the under 20 and the under 22 team when he got his first call up. He went back to the
Olympics.
Yes, and I think the German team as well. I'm sure some of the German players.
They weren't playing for both. There's five out of the World Cup winners. There was five of them that were in the under 21 squad, but they weren't playing.
But
for
I bet
both.
If they had, if their boss had said to them, go back to the under 21s, they would have been like, cool, okay, it's fine.
We have to remember they are still growing boys. If we're talking about the under 21s, they're growing boys. We all remember when Stevie G had his growing pains. And people like Michael Owen, people like Cesc Fabregas, even Rooney, there is questions over the amount of games they played and up until that age where boys stop growing, which is 21. A lot of them, it does damage the longevity of their careers. So I don't think it's as simple as he's under 21. He should be able to run around for 12 months of the year.
But then the Germans do it and the Spanish do it and the Italians do it.
Their league is different to ours, so you can't compare. It's all in good saying they do it. No, they don't, because they have 2 weeks off at Christmas where they sit and chill.
But they also... we also
And they this, don't have we also the cup the Premier, competitions like
we
also
do. In the Premier League. How many times do you always see, like, you know, Martinez or whatever will say, oh, Barkley's taking a rest because, you know, he's played enough games and whatever. These players get enough rest.
Didn't he get a break to Jamaica last season by Rodgers?
Totally. So Sterling got to go to Jamaica.
That's because he was playing badly.
Really poorly. I was going to bring back to the senior team, though. Natasha, well, bearing in mind Germany and Spain kind of stumbled their way to winning their groups. You know, Holland are out. Well, they're going to be out tonight. Italy don't look amazing. France, we don't really know how good they are because they obviously have no qualifiers and doing friendlies.
Can't the Dutch get in the playoffs?
They can, but I think they have... I think it's Turkey draw their game. It doesn't matter what Holland do. Okay. Can England win this?
No.
I've just given you the 6-7 leading nations there. No one's standing out. England have sailed through. They've got this new youthful, exuberant, you know, team on it. You know, come on. It's not happening.
No. I'm being... Don't get me wrong. It would be great for the fans. I don't even know if it'd be great for the... It would be great for the players, but then they'd love themselves even more than they do. But
should they be winning it?
No, I don't buy into this divine right invented football.
I didn't mean it in that
sense. Should they be contenders?
Look at their squad, look at everyone else's squad. Should they be getting to the semis at least?
They should be contenders. I don't know if it can... It depends what group you get as well, remember, once you get there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeded, so...
You'll only get one big team in your... One of the big team in your
but
group.
But then you say that and then you look at Northern Ireland. You know, you look at Wales and... At the end of the day, they're one-off games. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Wales get further than England.
Well, we're going to come on to
because
Wales
I do buy into this whole mental attitude of when you're on the pitch and the belief and the kind of camaraderie that you have. We've long heard, even people like... I remember Rio Ferdinand saying he never understood the fact that Wayne Rooney was friends with the Liverpool boys when they went away with England. Because even though he was with England, he still saw them as Liverpool and him as Man United. Mm. That's an attitude problem to me. Because we're all coming together for our nationality.
From Rio, you mean?
Yeah, Ferdinand.
It's an odd thing to say.
Yeah, because the Real Madrid and the Barcelona players hate each other in La Liga, but when they long gap international duty, Casillas...
That's
and
a very juvenile...
PK,
yeah, that's a juvenile attitude to have, you know.
Really,
I mean, we all know the Spanish players and they'd come together as a national team. The manager says, look, we're here now. Forget your club stuff. We're doing this together. End of story. It's mature. It's adult. So I think little things like that...
The problem's why not.
I'm hoping that eventually... not this season or next season, St. George's Park will enable them to build an England national team rather than a group of players who come together to play for England. I think there's a difference between the two.
Okay, Ollie, Tash is not having it. Can England win this Euros? Okay, should they be looking to win this Euros?
They should be competing, yeah, but they won't win it.
Why not?
Because it's not just the issue of whether they've got the ability to win it. It's also about whether they've got the mental capacity to deal with the pressure that comes with playing big games in major tournaments. And I'm not convinced that they've got that. They haven't got the game mentality, quite apart from whether Hodgson's got it as a manager as well, to manage situations as they arise during a match. The other issue is whether the players can deal with the, you know, the mental kind of
pressure
that goes with playing at that level of football, and knowing that there's millions of people back home watching, and that there's so much on these games. And time and again, we see England can't cope with it. Whereas the Italians, people will say what they, you know, say all sorts of stuff. Oh, this is the poorest Italian team.
But when it comes to game
when it
time,
comes
they
to
turn
like
it on.
A major tournament, they'll find some way of getting through it.
We're not brave enough. We're not brave. I think that's not even just the football team. I think as a nation, as a society, we are inherently cautious.
I agree.
And I think it's in our nature to kind of go into it thinking, oh, you know, well, if we do this, it'll be okay, rather than
just go for it.
My attitude is kind of fake it till you make it. If I keep pretending I'm good enough long enough, eventually I'll be good enough.
Or if you believe that you're good enough.
Yeah.
And the last player that England had like that is Paul Gascoigne, who actually went into the 1990 World Cup.
He
believed he was good enough. He looked at all the other players, and the players that had made monkeys out of England 2 years previous in the European Championship, the likes of Van Basten and Hullet, he went up against those guys and essentially looked like he was the man, wasn't he? And so I just think that England lack those sort of players. For all the good players that they've had, they lack players who will be able to stand up against the best in Europe and say, I'm as good as you, if not better.
I don't care who you are.
I can take you on.
I want to get both of your 11s ahead of the competition next season, but just very, very briefly, is it style over substance? Because I hear a lot of England fans now saying they wouldn't really care if it was if they get knocked out early, as long as the football was better. So just excite us, just make us want to watch England again. But I'm not sure if that's actually true, because if it was the opposite and you won the World Cup but it was really dry, they'd still moan. So if there was a choice, would you rather see England get to the quarterfinals, lose to whoever, but play really exciting, progressive football? Or would you take a Euro win with some of the most dullest, boringest, targeted football?
I don't mean it's in a bad way, Jordan, but that's a non-question. I think that any England fan would take a win whatever way it came. So, you know, it's kind of, there's no two ways about it. Let's be honest, 1966, England didn't rewrite the book, did they, on how to play football? Yes, they came up with the wingless wonders and all the rest of it, but the football wasn't great. I don't think it was not on a par with what Brazil had done either side of the kind of, you know, of either side of England's World Cup win. But everyone still talks about that, don't they? They were worthy winners, but you know, essentially they didn't reinvent
wow anybody.
You know, they didn't reinvent the game, did they, in the way they play. So no, I would, you know, obviously, and let's be honest, Roy ain't gonna come out with some wild expansive
whatever
football.
Turns to Barcelona.
It's not happening. You know, so essentially if we're gonna win, or even if we're just gonna progress, we're gonna do it by playing the percentages, aren't we?
I actually think if we went and played boring playing football but got to the semis, I would see that as an improvement, because it would show a bit of intelligence,
isn't it either we don't mind you playing your Roy Hodgson pragmatic football, but you better go and win it, or if you're not going to win it, at least make us want to watch you.
Well, that's the problem.
Lose and
that's
play
the problem
boring.
In itself is that it's an either or. You know,
well, very few teams do both.
Liverpool Champions League final 2005.
They weren't that good that season.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Their best game was the final.
I'll give you that. Okay. Yeah.
Chelsea.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe okay. My words there. I'll take that.
Yeah, but I think, do you know what? If we actually went and played like a Chelsea or like a Liverpool, I'd actually see. Hold on a minute. we've got some sense for a change. You know, we can't always play, well, we don't, but you can't always wish for the pretty football. Because even sometimes the prettiest football teams have to put their foot down and kick someone in the middle of the park to get where they need to be.
Get the job done. All right, guys, let's get your 11s now. I'll let you kick off, Tasha, with this is assuming everybody bar Luke Shaw is fit. You're the England manager. First game in a tournament.
I'm buying myself a new suit, firstly.
Buy a new suit. You're playing...
Custom made, baby.
give me a middly European team. Not a top team, not a crap team. Who's a middly European team?
Porto.
Portugal.
Oh, Portugal. Yeah, sorry. I'm thinking...
Okay. First game of the tournament is Portugal.
Okay.
Give me your 11.
Okay. I'm going to start with Hart. I'm a big, big fan of Butland, but Hart has the experience and we've seen that he can be like very, very good in big games. You know, you're not going to worry about him if he concedes a goal, if he's going to drop his head. We know he's going to get up and continue doing his job. So that's why I've gone with him. Left back Cresswell.
Wow, big call.
I was thinking about Cresswell as well.
He's been the best left back in the league since last season.
I don't think he's the best defensive left back. I think there are better defending left backs than him.
That's not the question. He's the best English left back. Not is he the best defensive left back.
That's what you want your left back to do first and foremost, isn't it?
Well, yeah, in an ideal world.
You want your left back to first of all be able to defend. I think going forward he's probably the best, but I think defensive. Sorry, it's your team.
I mean,
you're the boss.
But then
you are the boss, so
do
I'm going to shut
up.
You
know what? He's now playing under Bilic, and by the end of the season, I would expect his defensive skills to improve. Right back, Nathaniel Clyne. I think that's kind of a given, really. Because Walker and what's his name?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So why not Gibbs, can I ask?
At left back?
Yeah.
He's not playing enough games. He's not the first choice for his club. So I'm going to go for the guy that's performing week in, week out. Unlike Roy... form counts for me. Stones.
Okay.
Which I think you all know. I'm a bit... part of me said Jagielka because him and Stones know each other from club. And I just think if Stones is having any nervy moments, he'd like to see his mate, his buddy next to him. It'd kind of be easy to calm. But then also Scott Dan has been very impressive this season. Okay. So it would probably come down to who impresses me most in training.
Okay.
Is that a fair point?
That's a fair point. Skinfest your team, because we've got another 17 topics to get through and we're halfway through the pod show already.
Okay.
That's my fault.
Okay,
sorry.
Then we've got Theo.
What's your formation?
It's like a 4-4-1-1.
Okay.
Which could become like a 4-3-2-1.
Okay.
So you've got Theo, Henderson and Sterling.
Uh-huh.
Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Rooney and Sturridge.
Okay, that's interesting. Who is your ball winner? Who's your... Hang on. That's a 4-3-3, right?
That's 4-3-1. You've missed a player, haven't you? So you got... Who's your middle?
No, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I've got 11 players.
So who are your three in the middle?
I didn't hear someone.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying 4-4.
No, I said it's either... It's like a 4...
Who's your four in the middle? In the midfield?
Theo, Henderson, Barkley and Sterling.
Okay.
But then obviously it can also be a 4-3-2, Barkley and Rooney and Sturridge up front by himself.
And the front...
Are you with me?
The front three, Kane, Rooney, Sturridge.
No, not Kane.
Sorry, who was the front three?
There is no front three.
It's Rooney and Sturridge.
It's Rooney and Sturridge. But Rooney can drop back into midfield with Barkley. Theo can also drop into midfield and Barkley can come on the right. So
quick question, and we move to Ollie. Who wins the ball back for you?
Henderson.
He's your ball winner.
I really thought about that. I just... See, this is where I was going to put the ox in, because at least he's got a bit of weight about him. Rooney can win the ball back.
Really?
Oh, wow. He can't
in
run.
In the number 10 role?
No.
You
want
to turn the ball
to no, it's going to be Henderson and Barkley, obviously.
Okay. All right, okay, fine. Well, let's have your 11.
Right, I'll rattle through it. It's Hart, Clyne, Bertrand, I suppose. Well, I haven't really got that much kind of... I'm not big on that. Cresswell's not a bad call.
It's either or, isn't it?
Yeah, but Bertrand, I suppose. I'm really not too fussed about the two centre-halves. Smalling.
Much for muchness for you.
Yeah, Smalling and Cahill. I think Stones maybe it's too much to ask him to go into a major tournament straight in that position. It's too, I think it's too much. So yeah, I'd probably go with Cahill, and at least Cahill's got the Champions League experience. Cahill and Smalling I'd go with. And then I'll play 4-3-3, so it would be in the centre. I'd probably go with Carrick, Milner and Henderson.
Boring.
And yeah, I know it is boring, but this is Roy. And this will suit Roy.
This is your team.
This is what I questioned.
I just think, I'm not sure. I just want players who are going to do a job, right? I don't think England are that great, and I don't think that you can turn around and say, yeah, well, you can if you want, but I think if you turn around in the first game of the European Championships,
they go for it,
and you're going for it with Barkley and this one and that one in the centre of your midfield, you're losing. If you're playing anyone decent, you're losing. The whole thing about the first game is don't lose it. Do you know what I mean? Don't lose the first game. Yeah, if you can get, and that's what England's major mistake was in the World Cup. They lost the first game and they were playing catch up. They were out. They're out before they even finished the group games. So win the first game, or at least don't lose it. So I'm going to go with the boring. And this is we're talking about the first team, yeah?
First game. First 11, yeah, first game.
Right, so Henderson, Carrick.
And Milner.
And Milner, Sterling, Rooney, and Walcott.
Oh, wow. Not Sturridge.
No.
Really?
That's interesting. Yeah. That's a bigger call than Cresswell. Yeah. Not Sturridge.
Why?
Bar Aguero, he's probably the best striker in the league.
Nah.
Wow. Well, he was until his injury.
He's never fit.
I'm missing a defender. He's fit now.
I mean, he's fit in this utopia world.
In this utopia world,
even
Dean
Jack's fit.
Listen, Sturridge played in the World Cup. What did he do?
Okay.
What did he do?
He'd just come back from injury. He was in between his injuries.
And that's not my fault.
Wow, you are harsh. All right, that's a big call, but it's your team.
I still think you've got, you know,
you've still got to bear in mind
that Rooney is probably going to play. He's the captain. He's going to play, right? I don't believe that this whole line of Rooney is a number 10. Rooney is a forward. Rooney is a centre forward, or he's nothing. He's not a number 10. I don't know why everyone keeps going about his number 10. I've never seen Wayne Rooney, or I haven't seen him do it for a number of years. I've never seen him dictate a game from number 10. From number 10, I expect him to dictate the game. Everything goes through him.
Where did he play when Ronaldo was on his form at Man United?
He played number 9 that year.
He played number nine.
When he got the 30 goals, he was number 9 that
he
year.
He wasn't a number 10. He hasn't been a number 10.
I was asking the question.
I have not seen him play as a number 10 and certainly not at an international level, and think to myself, wow, you know, he's bossing this game. I haven't seen
it. Okay, skim through my team. I've gone Hart, Klein. I've gone Baines at left back. I still think that
you're going back there.
Well, I just think none of the other defenders defensively really. Gibbs doesn't convince me.
But he's not. He goes forward. He was one of the reasons why they got caught out against Italy.
Going forward, he's the best of the worst. Because Rooney didn't.
I just think he's the best of the worst in terms of defence, and I think he can put a good ball in.
I'm looking for the future.
Yeah, you know, I hear that. I've gone Smalling and Stones. I've gone those two in the middle. Smalling, I think, will take that spot over Jagielka by the end of the season, and I've gone Stones just because I just like Stones. I just think he's the future as well. Just go for it. Just fling him in there.
You think he'll be ready?
I think by the end of the season it will be.
Yeah. You don't think Cahill's Champions League experience?
Well, it hasn't helped him for Chelsea so far this season.
Yeah, and I just think that Cahill, I used to be a fan of Cahill, but I think in the last 18 months he's shown me that he's not all that. Last year he had his hand held by Terry. This year, I just think he's average.
Do you know what it is for me with Cahill? He hasn't progressed.
Yeah.
He got to that point.
And he was looking good.
And then it's like plateaued. He's just, you know when the heart monitor stops going? He's just levelling across.
I've gone two in the middle. I've gone Carrick and Milner. I really like Carrick. I think he's clearly fading.
See, I think with me.
And I think Carrick's the only person with a brain. I think Carrick in that role is the only person that doesn't mind not crossing the halfway line, knows when to get involved, knows when to sit. And he's a decent passer with the ball
as well. And he can set up play as well.
He can start moves. I think Carrick's really underrated. Milner, I know they call him boring, but I think that box to box, he's got legs.
He's steady.
He can nick you a goal and he can play football. He's not a bad football player, Milner.
Boring.
Yeah, I've gone with those two in the middle.
Not as boring as you.
Yeah, your
let's,
team.
Let's keep it real. Yeah,
your team was like, even Roy would be like, whoa.
Your team was like, no one run.
Just stay
just
positioned.
Kick the ball
just
up and the fast
what
little.
Do you mean? Sorry.
And the skinny little black boys will get
your
it.
Your team is only one off. Your midfield's only one off me. You've got Milner.
But that's
and
a big difference.
Garrett.
Three boring I've and got, two boring is a big difference.
I've got. Yeah, but Henderson can get forward, can't he? Henderson scores goals.
Yeah, but he's going to be running around for Carrick because Carrick's got no legs.
He's a runner.
I think Milner can get around, and I've gone three behind Sturridge. Sturridge, I think, is the best striker we've got. Three behind, I've gone for Welbeck on the left, only because I'm not convinced by Sterling at all. I think his delivery is average. He doesn't get you a goal. Defensively, I don't think he really does anything. Doesn't really help out. Welbeck does that job really well. He's not prolific, but Welbeck,
he can take orders.
And I think he does that job well. So I've gone Welbeck left. I've gone Walcott right. Although I was edging towards Townsend. I tell you why. Only because for England he turns up. But the only thing that made me go against him was that he cuts in. Whereas Walcott will go and he will go out on the right. Yeah. He will stretch play. Whereas Townsend, he cuts in. I don't like that. And I've gone Barkley. I've dropped Rooney. Just because I think if you're the England manager, you're going to get sacked at some point anyway. You might as well get sacked going for it.
My thing was no guts, no glory. I'm thinking like when people thought, let's go to the moon, and everyone looked at them and laughed and they were like, you laugh. Hi, I'm on the moon.
And bearing in mind, they didn't get their group at the World Cup. It can't get any worse than that. So you might as well just go for it, the Euros. And if you go and get out of your group, what are they going to say?
As I said, I just believe.
But no, I take your point.
Roy's getting sacked at the end of the tournament anyway.
So just go for it, I think. If you're going to get sacked at the end of the tournament, you might as well.
Yours was boring. And yeah, he had two of your players. But his forward line is just like pace.
There's a lot of pace there. You've got a finisher in Sturridge. Yeah, anyway. That's our team. All right, we'll see what he goes with at the Euros next year. Let's move on now very, very quickly because we've overrun that section there. Does the party end here for Wales?
No.
That's a hard one to answer. They're not the best team, are they? Let's be honest. But they've done fantastically well in that group. But I'd be slightly disappointed. I know it's the first time they've qualified since 1958, and I know everyone's on a high and all the rest of it. But I mean, slightly disappointed with watching them in the last two games, to be honest with you. I just thought they should have come home in the Israel game. They should have won that game. I know Israel came for the draw and they were boring, but still I thought Wales should have been looking to win that game. And then again the other night against Bosnia, they were poor.
Yeah.
They were really poor. Good, you know, thank goodness they didn't need the result.
I didn't watch it, but I heard
and
they were poor.
Yeah, it's just I'm not convinced about Wales, but you know, they're through and I suppose it's a great achievement, but it's a worry that if Bale's not doing it for them, I just wonder where the spark's coming from. Mm. So yeah, but you know how it works. A lot of it's down to what group they get. If they get a decent group, then anything's possible, really, because as you mentioned earlier, you alluded to earlier, I don't think there's any standout team in this tournament, you know? I don't think there's too many standout teams anyway. So they've got a chance, haven't they? You've got a chance of at least competing in a group, but they'd need Bale to be firing from the off. If he's not firing from the off, they got no chance.
Tasha, just quickly, we will leave the internationals and we'll move on from that. Does having the islands and Wales in the competition alongside England add more pressure to England, or does that relieve a little bit of the pressure from them?
I know it adds more pressure.
You think? Why?
Because if they, obviously, in a lot of people's minds, they'll be playing in their own little mini separate tournament. You know, like you have a mini league for your friends in fantasy. That's what it's going to be like. So if England get knocked out in the groups and Wales go through,
It will be embarrassing.
People are already annoyed that they're above England in the rankings. So imagine if Wales get to the quarters and England get knocked out and finish with the wooden spoon. That should be funny, but it would be embarrassing for England.
Okay, all right, let's move on now to back to Premier League matters. Let's go on to Klopp. I'm hoping I've got a really good Liverpool fan to come on the programme, on the show next week, who's got some interesting views on Klopp. I'll let him explain those when he comes on. But Natasha, is the idea of Jurgen Klopp better than actual Jurgen Klopp? And I'm hoping you know what I mean by that
question. Yeah, I do. I think we're going to have to wait and find out. I think if Liverpool fans, you know, when they were dreaming about who should take over from Brendan Rodgers, I think Klopp is basically what they were all dreaming about. He's, you know, he likes youth. He likes play attacking football. He's charismatic. He's, Rodgers likes to think he's charismatic, but a lot of people see him as more obnoxious than charismatic. Whereas Klopp's charismatic and humble, but confident. So I think he's ideal for Liverpool. And we're not going to know whether the idea of him is better than the reality until maybe Christmas. I think that's, people have to think he's just come in now. He says he's watched a few Liverpool games, but how much does he really know about some of these players? Because they're not exactly, I mean, bar people like Coutinho, who everyone will know about Coutinho.
But on ITV, on Champions League, are they every single week for you to see? Are they?
But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be, like Ollie said last week, the fans weren't behind Rodgers. He was walking alone, as Ollie put it. And I think it will be nice to, I don't know if it's purity or maybe the Liverpool we're used to, where the fans, the manager and the players are all going to be in sync. It'll be nice to have that, even if it's just for a couple of months.
Okay, Ollie, was you impressed or seduced by his press conference last week?
Well, he came across as a nice guy, didn't he? He came across as someone who's pretty genuine. And Liverpool fans will probably go for that. None of the nonsense that they probably got tired of with Rodgers. And he comes with a CV, so at least that will buy him time, won't it? You know, the fact that he's won some. I know it turned a bit sour at the end at Dortmund, but he's won a couple of trophies, and he got them to a Champions League final. So that's going to buy him some time, but. He's got a big job to do, and he's acknowledged that. He's got a big job to do there. But he's got players, so, you know, there's nothing to say. If he can keep Sturridge fit, Coutinho, Firmino.
There's firepower.
You know, there's firepower there. They've got what it takes. It'll be very interesting what we see come Saturday at Tottenham.
They've got Yorma, haven't they?
I mean, there's some really interesting games this weekend. Some real kind of big, big games for different teams for different reasons. But that's a big game for both sides, really. You know, I know it's early to say with Klopp, he's got to come out and win this game. But still, I think that he'll want to show that he's made an effect already. And Spurs are in a situation where they need to be taking... They've taken some beatings from Liverpool the last couple of seasons, and they need to... They need to address that, and they need to kind of come through this game, I think. I think it's important for Spurs to come through this game. So it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I'm kind of like Klopp, but I'm not
fully convinced.
I'm not convinced, and I think there's a lot of Liverpool fans who aren't convinced that he's just another, you know, quick fix or another kind of, you know, one of these players managers where there's a lot of substance there and a lot of talk of what could maybe happen, but... It's not really going to happen, you know.
Tasha, do you, not dwelling too much on the sacking of Rodgers, but do you sense that there was a feeling from the Liverpool owners that they moved and sacked Rodgers and brought in Klopp? Because they looked at the league and thought, well, Chelsea are in a mare, United and Arsenal don't look amazing, City have just been battered by Tottenham and lost at home to West Ham. Top four is a possibility for us, and if we don't move now, then we're definitely going to get top four. And they made that decision based on looking at the league, and it's still quite all over the place. Or do you feel that he was on thin ice anyway? He was dead man walking.
They were waiting for him to hang himself.
Okay,
I really do believe that. Like obviously he had that really good season, so there's always that. Maybe that wasn't the one off. Maybe last season was the one off. You know, where they dropped down and they struggled a bit. So it's like, let's give him another chance. If he's good, great. If he's not, that's our reason to sack him. Because I do think a lot of these foreign owners don't like their name in the papers all the time. And it was becoming less about Liverpool and more about Rodgers. And I know we've talked about that before. And I think they were starting to think, Liverpool's the sort of club where you don't want people talking about the manager more than you want people talking about the team. Mm. It should always be about the team. Okay. Hence why someone like Mourinho would never work there.
Okay, all right. We're going to talk a little bit more about Liverpool and Klopp next week, because I want a Liverpool fans' perspective on Klopp as well. Plus, we'll have had his first game by then, so we can talk a little bit about that match. Big Sam, briefly. Tash, let's start with you. Is he going to be enough to save Sunderland from the drop?
I believe so. I think, do you know what? Obviously, Big Sam's appointment, it was in the news, but because Klopp got appointed the day before, a lot of people seem to have kind of ignored it. I think that's a more important appointment for Sunderland. The him going to Sunderland is more important and potentially future changing for the club than Klopp going to Liverpool.
Mm.
I think Liverpool already have the makings of a top four team. They're not there yet, but they have the makings. I think him going to Sunderland could completely change the future, because let's be honest, they pretty much look like, from day one, from last season, they looked like they were going to get relegated this season.
Mm.
And once you've seen them play, your mind doesn't change. But literally, Big Sam's going to have to go in there and change everything from top to bottom. And I think you need a strong character to do that. And someone with experience, someone who you can't question, who knows the league, I think he's the perfect guy for the job.
Is it a bad move for Sam? Do you think he should have maybe waited a bit longer?
I think Sam wanted to get back in because, you know, he got bundled out of West Ham. Let's not beat around the bush. He was bundled out unceremoniously, wasn't it? It was harsh. Just like, yeah, thanks, Sam. Get gone. You know what I mean? And they wanted him out the door, and that would be hurting him, man. It'd be hurting him. He'd be burning about that. You know what I mean? And why wouldn't he be? Because he would look at it and think, well, you know what? I didn't do a bad job at West Ham, and I got him up and got him safe in the Premier League. And, you know, first part of last season, they played some good stuff, I thought. They brought in some players who were not obvious Sam players. You know, he tried to change the style a bit and they were scoring goals. And, yeah, I thought he was doing okay. But, yeah, they kind of did their normal mid-season nosedive where they kind of, you know, they just fell away. But still, I didn't think he did a bad job. But I think that would have burnt him that he got bundled out of West Ham and he wants to get back in the game and prove what he can do, you know?
Do you think there's a long-term plan there for Sunderland? Because this could just be another...
No, it's not.
Big Sam's in, he'll keep us up, and then 18 months from now, struggle again, we'll sack him.
Have they
learned their lesson?
We know the drill with Sam. We know how it goes, you know what I mean? I think Tasha's completely right. I think Sam will keep him safe, but that's never enough, is it? Fans are never happy. The thing is, it's all about levels, isn't it? It's all about levels. When Liverpool had the opportunity, just to go back quickly to Liverpool, you know, when Liverpool had the opportunity to trade up in managers, they didn't miss it, you know? They saw an opportunity. Rodgers was at a time, Fenway Group came in and they thought to themselves, well, you know, who can we get? You know what I mean? Who can we get? I'll tell you what, we'll go for these one of these young up-and-coming managers. He might not have won anything, but maybe he'll grow with Liverpool and we can grow with him, you know? It didn't work, you know what I mean? He had his chances, it didn't work. And the moment that they realised they could get Klopp, he was out, you know? And it didn't matter what Rodgers did. I think they were looking for an opportunity to get rid of him once they knew Klopp was available. Same with Sunderland. Sunderland looking at it, it's about levels. Sunderland fans and the management, all they want at the moment is to think to themselves, we've got someone who will get us out of this relegation, no, you know,
honest,
this mire.
We've got someone who can make sure we could get the TV money next season, because that's what it's all about.
There you go. They want someone who can just get them up to the next level, which is out of that mire, every season we're fighting to stay in the league. We don't want to be there. What we want to be is, we want to be a mediocre mid-table team. Sam can do that.
Yeah.
But then the next problem comes is, this is boring. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's always the problem, isn't it? That will be the next problem, and that's where Sam hits the buffers, because the fans get bored with the football and then they start putting pressure on the board and the board get rid of Sam. But I don't see it as a long-term appointment in terms of him staying there for 10 years, but he could
Even
be there
five.
For, he could be there, he might be he
I
might
don't.
Be there he might be there for 3 or 4 years, because at the moment Sunderland just need that stability. I actually think Sam's history is not about getting in, doing what I said to you weeks ago about Sunderland. Someone needs to go in there and just change it and actually start looking at what they've got, the academy, and start bringing through players and not taking on rejects. What Sam's done in his time is he'll go and get maybe that 28-year-old player who's kind of, you know, who's been a decent player, but he's coming down the escalator. He's coming down the escalator, but he'll come and do a little turn for Sunderland.
Yeah.
That's what Sam does, you know, and it will be good for a couple of years. You know?
Tasha, again, I want to get Chelsea talking in the last few minutes here, very briefly. The reason why I ask, is it a bad move for Big Sam? Is because his whole moniker is that, oh, Big Sam will keep you up. He's going to keep you in the league. If he doesn't keep them in the league, will that tarnish his CV?
No, because people already thought Sunderland was down before the first game of the season. So even
but,
if...
But then the whole moniker of, he keeps you up, that's gone.
Yeah,
and then
but
why do you bring in Big Sam? Because, like Sam, you say, he's boring.
Sam's keeping them up.
He does. He does what it says on the tin. I disagree with Ollie. Sure. I don't think the Sunderland fans will get impatient of Sam because they've had such complete and utter.
I'm not talking about
dial.
Straight away. I'm talking about 3 years down the line.
When
they'll
was the
get
last
bored.
Time Sunderland had a team they could cheer? I'm really thinking like Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips days.
Steve Bruce's first team was decent. Wasn't that with Darren Bent in it? Steve Bruce
yeah.
is
wow,
taking
it
back. Decent.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, so I think they might just be grateful for or happy for the stability.
For a time.
And I think Sam's the sort of manager, he comes out and he's, whether or not you agree with him, which I often don't, he says what he thinks and there's a lot to be praised for that, I think.
Okay. Literally a couple of minutes left. I want to talk Chelsea finally, but I want to talk about Jose Mourinho. We've done him the last couple of weeks and the way they're going on right now. I think we'll be coming back to Jose Mourinho. Tasha, the Eva Kanira situation, do you feel like she dealt with it in the right way?
100% yes.
Yeah.
I think, well, me personally, if my manager called me out in front of people like that, I would have been raising my voice and responding. I try and treat people how I give you what you give me. So if you give me, you know, bitch resting face, I'm going to give you it back. I think the best thing she could have done, which was what she did, she didn't go crawling to the papers like Chelsea leaked stories about her public life, because that's obviously where it came from. She went home, she kept herself quiet, she released a statement when it was necessary to release a statement. And other than that, we've heard nothing from her. So I think out of everyone, she's the only one that's coming out of it with any kind of respect from the general public.
Ollie, do you feel she can return to football? Assuming she wants to return to football, can you see another Premier League team taking her on?
I'd like to think
she's clearly very good at her job.
I'd like to think they would.
Show now, isn't she?
I would like to think they would, but and that's the reason why, you know, it's important for her to say as little as possible, because if you become too, you know, too vocal, then you then become the problem, don't you? And even though you've been wronged, she has, but yeah, you know, I don't see any reason why, but you could see a scenario where you never see her again.
Do you know what makes me laugh? I know you're asking that question, but we have players regularly come out after they leave a club and slag the club off. Joey Barton's a prime example of that. He's always got something to say about his ex-club. But are we even questioning that because she's a woman in football? Or because that's the only reason I can say
that
we're saying.
That's the elephant in the room, isn't it? Because she's, yeah, it must be, because as you say, that if it was a male, even having a player, but it was a male physio, he'd get another job at another top team, assuming he's good at his job, which she appears to be.
I mean,
so I'm just wondering, would another team, it sounds quite rude, but be brave enough to take her on, bearing in mind they're going to be bringing in an excellent physio, but do they think, you know, we don't need that circus, we don't need the cameras panning on her, we don't need that around our team, which is a shame.
The joke is she doesn't court the press or the circus. No. But I tell you what, if she doesn't get another job, then people like me who work in sports media and a lot of other women are going to be looking around our shoulder a lot harder than we already are, because if she is very good at her job and very well qualified and has worked with some of the best players in the world. So if she doesn't get another job, what hope is there for the rest of women working in football? And what does it say about football in general?
Ollie, Eden Hazard, what the hell is going on?
that's a question.
We discussed Terry with Blasted Ivanovic,
yeah,
Matic,
no, I
Costa.
Cannot
he's gone under the radar.
It. I cannot
Player of the year
it
last year.
Because again, we talked a bit about this last week, and I said that I just feel that when he's not playing well, suddenly Chelsea look very ordinary. They don't look like they've got a spark. And unless he can find his form, then it's going to be a difficult season. I know Jose said we will finish in the top four. You won't finish in the top four if Hazard don't start playing again, because they're going to struggle. Because I don't think there are enough players there who are serious, go-to, we will dig you out of a hole, you know, players. They've got players who all play well when everyone else, the team is doing well. There's no one like Hazard. They haven't got anyone else like Hazard.
Give me the ball, I'm going to win this
game.
Give
me the ball, I'm going to win you the game. You know, and that was what he was doing time after time last season. He's a brilliant player. And I just think, I cannot tell you what has gone on with him. I don't know what's happened. I don't know whether he got too confident or he had too many mince pies over the summer. I don't know what he's done. But he's just, it's just bizarre. It's strange why he's not playing the way he was. He really looks like he's lost confidence.
Yeah, he does.
You know, I just watched him and he's just kind of, before he was taking on players and not thinking about it, now he looks like
second-guessing himself.
Well, and it's almost like you can see what he's thinking before he's even done it. It's really weird. I don't know what's happened to him. So, yeah, it's a strange one.
And just finally, Tasha, Chelsea have Aston Villa at home. That probably has to be a must-win. I mean, if they're at home, so if Chelsea lose that game, you lose at home to Villa, is that the trigger getting pulled?
It's not possible, is it?
Well, you'd think, but the way it's looking,
Villa needs
to win that game as well, and Villa got nothing to lose. So if Chelsea lose that game,
season,
is that bye-bye Jose?
I would have laughed at anyone that said Villa may have gone to Stamford Bridge and beaten Chelsea. But you really don't know. Jose will hope the players have gone away on international games and come back with a bit of confidence. Because if they're playing like they have been playing, then Villa could go there and at least get a point. I can't believe I'm saying that. Because Villa are probably one of the worst teams in the league right now. But if Chelsea, the players' heads have dropped, if they're still carrying themselves like that, then you have to say it is becoming a bit of a crisis, no longer just a problem. It's a full-blown crisis.
Interesting that Mourinho was watching...
Spanish game.
Yeah, watching Fabregas. And we were talking about Fabregas last week. Yeah.
And then he missed a penalty.
Yeah, and it's just kind of... It's almost like maybe he's gone out there thinking, let me see if he plays the same way for Spain as he did for Chelsea.
And to be fair, Pedro was there as well. So there was a couple of Spanish players that had been there.
Was Costa
well.
Playing? Was Costa
I don't
playing,
think he
then?
Did. I don't think he did right, play, okay. no. I don't know if he's a nerd. All right, guys, nice one. Thank you very much for your contributions there. That wraps up this week's FFP. Don't forget to check us out on the SoundCloud page. Don't forget you can find us also via iTunes. Just search Football Fans Podcast. Until next week, take it easy. Peace.